In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the fourth Sunday of the blessed month of Hatur, and the Church chooses the passage for us about the rich young ruler, which we're all very familiar with. If you notice in this passage, there's a striking contrast between the rich young ruler and the disciples. The Lord met the rich young ruler, and he told them about the commandments. And he responded to him, "I have kept these things from my youth." Then he said to him, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." He says you will have treasure in heaven. So now, what is he asking him to do? He's asking him to give up his money and invest it in heaven. And then, of course, we know that he went away sad because he had many possessions. So he was unable to separate himself from his money. Then you go, you know, just a few verses later, Peter came to the Lord and said, "But what about us who have left all things?" And then Christ responded and said, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house, brother, or sister, or father, or mother, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time and in the age to come." So we see here one person who was attached to his money and one person who even gave up his family, his land, and everything. And I think the underlying problem here is that both of these situations are painful situations. For the rich man to separate from his money and the source of his what he depends on is painful for him. For the disciples to leave their family, their land, their everything, and their brothers and sisters and everything, this is painful for them. So what differed here is how each of one of them addressed the pain in their life. I'd like to speak today about facing the pain that gets you somewhere. Facing the pain in our life that gets us somewhere. Of course, many of us can look at the pain in our life and it can become debilitating. It's very easy for us to look at pain and pity ourselves and say, "How can I overcome it? And I am weak and I can't do it," and so on. But we can look at pain in a different way, so that when we look at it and we face it, it can yield something that is fruitful or something that is better. I want you to consider with me what the Lord commands us or tells us the way to life is. He says in Matthew 7, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So he says you have the broad way and you have the narrow gate and the narrow way. He says choose the narrow way. But keep in mind, the broad way is easy and many go through it. But the narrow way, he says, is difficult, but it leads to what? It leads to life. Narrow is the way, is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And then he says, but there are few who find it. There are few who find the narrow way. So the narrow way is difficult to find and then painful to go in by. Notice he says, he doesn't say here there are few who go in by it. But he says there are few who find it. Finding the narrow way and knowing where the narrow way is one thing, but actually, you know, girding your waist and going and actually going through the narrow gate is a completely different story, right? Many of us know that we need to say, you know, it's good for us to say our prayers and read scripture and come to church early and so on. Many of us know that. So we know the narrow way. But to go in by it is something completely different. The difficult way is the way that is painful to go through sometimes. And you'll find, if you look at the successful people in the world, they actually understand the value of pain in their life. If you look at the saints, for example, somebody like Saint Stephen understood the value of pain and suffering. Somebody like Saint Paul, who was shipwrecked, was beaten, was left half dead, and all of these things, looked at the value and understood the value of pain. Somebody like Saint Anthony, who gave up all of his family wealth to go and dwell in the desert. Somebody like St. Paula, who did the same and lived as a hermit alone. Even if you look in our society, the professional athletes, they know the value of pain. As they say here, no pain, what? No gain. No pain, no gain. It works in all aspects of our life. Again, those who are high-performing individuals understand the value of pain. What is the reality of pain, though? The reality of pain, that is, it is discomfort. It's uncomfortable. We all know that. We've all experienced it. Pain is uncomfortable. Pain, to us, we perceive as a negative experience because it is uncomfortable. And pain can take many forms. It can take the physical form. For example, being overweight and that affecting my back and my knees and everything. Being emotionally in pain, being overwhelmed or anxious or sad, being relationally in pain with our relationships, feeling like you're alone or alienated or by yourself is a type of pain. Of course, feeling financial pain, where I'm barely making ends meet. And of course, the spiritual pain, where I feel that I'm not where I would like to be in my spiritual life, or I feel like I was stronger in my spiritual life in the past. When I was younger, I was stronger in my spiritual life. All of these are types of pain we experience. And our natural inclination to pain is to get away from it. This is natural. And this is just, you know, programmed in us to make us like kind of survive. We put our hand in the fire, we take it out. This is our natural inclination. And it would be crazy for a person to love pain. Actually, you know, if somebody loves pain, this is grounds for a psychological disorder or evidence for a psychological disorder. But it's not crazy for the person to love the results of the right kind of pain. It's not crazy for a person to love the results of the right kind of pain. For example, a person who is going to exercise and work out. This is going to be painful for them. You're going to be sore, and you're going to be miserable for the next few days. But you know what? It's a good kind of pain, because they know the results will be beneficial. Pain has no, or life has no pain-free zones. There's no zone in life, no area of life where I can say, I'm going to be pain-free. And oftentimes, society and even ourselves, we tell ourselves we want the quick fix. The quick fix is the best way, right? If you're overweight and you'll look for one of those, you'll Google how to lose weight in 2 weeks, and they'll tell you some regimen and you lose the weight, but that we know after that, as fast as we lose it, as fast as we gain it, right? But the quick fixes usually don't work. The same, you know, in our emotional, you know, standpoint. I'll say, okay, I feel sad and alone. Okay, let me eat and let me distract myself by the internet so I don't think about my loneliness or whatever it is I'm going through. With our spiritual life, okay, I feel like I'm weak in my spiritual life, so then let me blame God. Let me remind God that it's His job to keep my life happy and comfortable, and He's not fulfilling what He's supposed to do. So we make ourselves, you know, feel better temporarily. So life, there's no part of life that's pain-free. Remember that narrow is the way that leads to life, and it's the best way, albeit difficult and painful. If you want to classify pain in our life, we can do so in two ways. What is called symptom pain and what is called success pain. Success pain. If you can think of it, and I'll explain later, you can just think of a tree and the root. Tree and the fruit. Symptom pain is like the fruit. It's a sharp discomfort that alerts us to the reality that we have to change something or do something new in our life, right? There's pain in my life, so I have to make a change. I'm miserable in the way that I have my relationship with one of my family members. Then this tells us that something has to change. There's the pain, right? Oftentimes, this is the warning signal that tells us something's going wrong. And C.S. Lewis, you know, he described pain as being God's megaphone. Sometimes God allows us to go through pain because He wants us to tell us something. Tell us that something's wrong in our life, and He wants us to understand what it is that he's trying to communicate to us. Of course, we all want to diminish this kind of pain. But the key to diminish this kind of symptomatic pain is to actually go through the successful pain, or the success pain. What do I mean? The success pain is discomfort as well, but this one is the one that helps you change and grow. It's a good kind of pain. Like I mentioned before, the example of exercise. This kind of pain will provide answers for you. It will provide hope for you, and it will provide hope to change the discomfort that you're in. This success pain is, as I said, is or the symptom pain is best treated by the success pain. And the reason that this is so is because it involves work. It involves work and energy, and we have to put forth an effort. When we face the success pain, this will help us resolve a pain. Let me give you some examples of maybe the ones that I mentioned, and I'll give you an example. For example, we said the physical pain of feeling overweight and your knees were hurting and everything. Maybe the type of success pain would be to find a balance between exercise and nutrition, and have somebody who's going to help you be accountable, right? So this will lead to a steady course of success. The success pain for our relationships, if we feel alone or we feel lonely, maybe learn how to confront or find someone to help you, guide you, how to confront the person who is causing you this pain or injuring you in this way, in a healthy way, so we can open this dialogue and, you know, iron things out. Again, this is to yield lasting results. Spiritually speaking, feel disconnected with God. Make an appointment with your father of confession. Try to find out what it is in my life that needs to change and stick to it and follow what he asks you to do. Notice that the pattern with the successful pain is that it involves work, effort, energy, it's difficult, and it progresses over time. This is the difference. There's a difference between the tree and the difference between the root. And one is resolved by the other. For example, if we're growing in the backyard of our houses an orange or a lemon tree to make orange juice or lemonade, and I go back in the backyard and I find that the lemon is spoiled and is bad, do I take the lemon and say you're worth this piece of lemon and you're good for nothing and I'm going to bury you in the ground and throw you in the trash can? Is this going to make the lemon good? No. What if this was any lemon that had any decency? It would tell me, you know, if you were so smart, you'd fix the tree and put me soil and fertilizer and all of this, and I'll bear you good fruit. That's what the fruit would tell us, right? The symptom pain is like this fruit. It's just the evidence that something is wrong. But in order for us to go to the success and understand how to deal with pain in a good way, we have to look at the tree. Okay, what is the cause or root cause or underlying cause of this pain in my life? And that's why when the Lord, he gave us an example, an analogy of this, when he said, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. So in essence, he says the solution or the structure to deal with the pain is in the tree, not the fruit. Looking at the underlying cause of the pain in our life will help us transform it from something that is just symptomatic to a long-lasting treatment. So how do we face the pain in our life that it can lead us to growth? Number one is be clear in the worthiness of the goal. Be clear in the worthiness of the goal. If I am not sure that the goal is better than where I am, then I won't make a change. Then I won't make a change. If you look at, for example, somebody like St. Mary. St. Mary went through many, many hardships in her life. Just the fact of her accepting the Annunciation that she will bear the Lord Jesus without the seed of man can get her killed. And it almost did, right? But she says, I'm going to go through it. Why? Because bearing the Savior and the Messiah of the world is an honor that I'm not worthy of, and something that is worthwhile, something that is worth my pain. It's worth me roaming as a fugitive, going, fleeing from Herod and going to Egypt. It's worthy of me living a life of poverty, where I can't even give birth to my child in a house, but in a manger among the animals. All of this pain that she went through, it was worthwhile. The goal was worthwhile in her life. For example, again, St. Stephen. St. Stephen, in his life, as he finished his oration, and the Jews and everybody around him were so angry at him, they're about to stone him. It says that he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he saw the heavens opened. So he saw before him a worthwhile goal. He says, this is where I want to go. So if it means that I have to get there through stoning, so be it. So be it. I will endure the pain because I understand the goal and it's worthwhile. The pain that it's in your life, maybe again, if it's a bad relationship with your husband, wife, or children, or whatever, it's worthwhile to go through the pain of opening the subject and talking again, as difficult and uncomfortable as it might be, but it's worthwhile, because to live in peace and harmony and love is far better than living, you know, at odds with one another. The second way of transforming or facing pain in a good way, or that leads to growth, is to ask why before we ask how. Ask why before we ask how. What's the difference? How tells us the means of something, how something happens. But why tells us more of a purpose, meaning, or a reason that something happened. So when we have a pain in our life, ask ourselves, why is this pain happening? Why, and if it's self-inflicted, look inside. If it's from the outside, what does God want to tell me from this circumstance? What does he want me to learn? How does he want me to grow from this circumstance? So learn to ask the question why before the how. And then be patient in the response. Number three is break down the pain into incremental parts. Break it down. Rather than look at something, okay, where I wish things could be, 10 years from now, let's look at, okay, let's take baby steps. It's just like, you know, if you ever climbed a flight of stairs that's several stories high. You know, I remember back when I used to visit Egypt, they have the elevator, but it always never be working, right? So we'd have to go up with our feet. So you'd look at my aunt and uncle, they lived on the 7th floor. So every time we'd go out and in, and I'd shake at him, the 7th floor, 7 floors, and you get dizzy by the time you get to 5. So, but if I look at, say, wow, how am I going to go up all of these flights of stairs? Then you might not go anywhere. But if you say, what, okay, they break them up into like 5 stairs. All right, we'll play on these 5 stairs, and we'll play on the next 5 stairs. So you break them up, it becomes something that I can handle. So look at the pain in your life and say, okay, this is the pain. Let's worry about one part of it. Break it down into small incremental parts. And actually, this gives us encouragement and hope that, you know what, I made it past the first step. I can go on to the second step. But if I look and say, how am I going to get these 150 to 200 steps? You know, we might be overwhelmed with the task. Look at what the proverb says in Proverbs 6. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provide her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. So the ants, if you watch the ants work, they have no captain who's sitting there on the side and them going back and forth. They're all kind of going randomly, doing their own thing. They're going in the same hole and out of the same hole, but no one's actually structuring them. Each one's doing their own thing. Why? To prepare for the winter, gathering their food, put it underground to prepare, you know, for the winter. So it's saying this small thing, the same thing with us. Do things incrementally. You know, you might say, oh, it's the beginning of summer. Why are you working so hard? Take it easy. Relax. But in mind, it says, no. It takes me a long time to go from here to here. The summer is long. Benizbeli, for let me go and start working from now. So take things slowly and incrementally. And each increment we take moves us forward. Number four is get support. Get support. We all need somebody in our life to look from the outside at the pain that we are experiencing and to help us work through it, to maybe evaluate, is it a problem in the tree? You know, is it a problem in the weather, in my environment? What is it that needs to change in my life to make the fruit better? The book of Ecclesiastes tells us, woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Woe to him who is alone when he falls. We all need one another. We all need companionship. We all need people that are sincerely looking out for our well-being and our salvation. And this we should find among each other. We should be bringing each other up, not being the cause, a stumbling block for one another. If we can't find people in the church who are interested in our salvation and want to help us in our path of salvation, where will we find it? We need it in each other. Be the good friends that your friends need you to be. Lastly is, when we fall, get back up. When we fall, get back up. Know that each falling or fail, we're learning. No one learns without failure. All of us learn through failure. So when I fall, get back up. Confess, restart, and try again. If I slip on one step, okay, go back and take another step forward and say, I'm not going to give up. May God give us the ability to look at the pain that we're experiencing in our life and transform this pain and look at this pain from simply the fruit and complain that it's bad to, let's look at the tree. What do I need to do in my life, or what is God trying to tell me in my life to change to make this pain something that is useful and that I can grow from? God bless you all. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.